Okay, and thanks for joining me, everyone. Charles Moskowitz here. Welcome to the program. Ted Harvey is my guest. He is the chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President. Ted, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, before we get into an overview of how to defeat the president, I want to talk about your specific case regarding Representative Cori Bush. She's from St. Louis. She's considered to be one of the so-called squad, along with my own Congresswoman, Ayanna Pressley, here in Boston. What's going on with her?
Well, if you remember a couple of years back, the squad pushed really hard for gun control, take away yours and my ability to defend ourselves. And during part of that fiasco, it came to light that Cori Bush had actually had armed guards that he was paying for to be able to guard her and protect her. And we started digging into that and found out that she was paying one of those people, her boyfriend, to be a security guard, but it came out that he wasn't a licensed security guard, and you have to be a licensed security guard in both Missouri and Washington, D.C., and so we believe that she is simply paying her boyfriend and giving him money from the campaign, even though he's not doing any security work. And now her husband, and which makes it even more complicated because it's against the law for to be paying a family member that's not doing actual campaign work, and they've given him over $90,000, which is a violation of federal election law, but it's also against the law to be doing security work without a license. Which is it? And they keep getting, you know, number one rule of polls is when you're in a hole, quit. And they keep making things work by the way they're changing their paperwork with the Federal Election Commission. And now they're threatening us, after our attorney telling us to stop with these accounts. But we're not going to back down. We actually filed with the Congressional Ethics Committee last week asking them to look into this situation. So we're not backing down. We're holding these radical left accountable, and we'll continue to do that.
Well, I mean, this case has so many ironic twists to it. First of all, here you have a congresswoman calling for the abolition of the Second Amendment, basically, but yet she has her own guard guarding her with, assumedly, a weapon, and which says, you know, it's kind of an elitist attitude of it's okay for me, but not you. It's kind of like John Kerry flying around the world with these massive jets. Private jets and dumping lots of chemicals into the atmosphere to go to climate control meetings. You know, it's a classic hypocrisy. But what's worse is that she's double dipping. She's got her boyfriend and now husband on a payroll, which is something that probably if she were a Republican, she'd be gone. But because of who she is and the position she's taking, she's probably going to be in there for life. It's kind of like Elizabeth Warren. We'll never get rid of her, like Ted Kennedy. You know, we're stuck with these people. They've got, once they're there, I mean, everything, it's just, that's power. You know, they're in and that's it. They can do whatever they want.
And I don't understand how the Democrats in her district can think that it's okay. She's wanting to try to defund the police every chance she can get, and she's trying to disarm the population. But she can have armed guards, and her citizens can't, and now she's illegally funding her husband, which is putting money into their own private bank account with donor money, yet still gets elected time and time again. It's really up to her voters to hold her accountable.
And they will not. It's like Ayanna Pressley also. She'll never be challenged. She's there for life. You know, she's, anyone who dares challenge her, they say, oh, you've got something against black men and women. And that's, unfortunately, I think it's an exercise in futility to try to take them on. They need to be just, we need to look at races where we can win and figure out the infrastructure and the methods of getting out the vote, which is what I'm worried about here. You know, you're in an organization called How to Defeat the President. I feel pretty discouraged in terms of the fact that the same mechanisms that were in place that overthrew President Trump, who got the largest plurality of votes of any incumbent or candidate in history, the same sorts of things, you know, the ballot, you know, harvesting, the, you know, the voting from the grave, the machines, which, by the way, my own Senator Elizabeth Warren said were rigged, and who presented the PAVE Act in 2019, which would have ended electronic voting in all 50 states. I don't know where she's on that right now. I have a feeling not too strongly, but there it is. All these things are still in place. So how can we expect to ever win another election? I mean, look what happened in Maricopa County, even this past election with Kerry Lake. I mean, it was so open and blatant, right in broad daylight, the stealing of that election. And yet nothing was done. They've got corrupt judges. What are you guys doing to try to counter that system? Because if it's not addressed, it's going to continue, I would suggest.
Is multiple states across the country have put in place signature verification to require proof of ID to be able to vote. I think we have now over 30 states in the country that require proof of ID to be able to vote. If you look at the case that Kerry Lake won last week, the judge ruled that you only can use documentation that is part of the voter registration to check signatures again. They did not do that in the 2020 election, which allowed Maricopa to be able to bring in tons of votes that otherwise probably wouldn't have come in because they were taking them off of other documentation, not the documentation for the voter that when they registered to vote, their signature had to come off the registration card. So I think there are states across the country where you are seeing changes. Up in, I think it was Wisconsin, where they said that they could not send out ballots, absentee ballots, unless they were requested. In the 2016 election, they sent all mail ballots to everybody, whether they were requested or not. It was against their state constitution. That's not going to be able to happen again. That only happened under the guise of the pandemic. So now, Supreme Court has ruled that you can't do that. That's against the Constitution. So I think there are changes that are being made in some of the more important states, swing states,
indeed,
that will help us in the next election and help us with the Electoral College bill. So I'm not as optimistic as a lot of folks out there. And if we continue with that narrative that it doesn't matter, we can't win, that's just going to discourage people from voting. And that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think you're seeing right now Donald Trump's energy and excitement for his campaign going through the roof. And I don't think there's any excitement for Joe Biden out there. If it's not close, they can't cheat. And if they can't cheat, they can't win. So I'm trying to be out there on the ground encouraging everybody to get every vote we possibly can out there. If we overwhelm them, it'll be hard for them to be able to cheat.
Well, I'm not, my intent here isn't to discourage people from voting. Of course, get out and vote. The problem is that we did win, and yet the election was pulled out, the rug was pulled out from under in broad daylight. The media declared Biden the winner, you know, and even in the case of Arizona, you had Aaron Mishkin from Fox declaring that state for Biden when he had no evidence in front of him. I remember even Rachel Maddow did a better job on that night, and she looked shocked when this happened. The point I'm making is that the infrastructure is still there enough. I mean, what's going to stop them from declaring another emergency? You know, I mean, you had in Michigan, you had laws for signature verification that were just overthrown by this corrupt George Soros elected State Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, who just said, no, we're not going to pay attention to that. You can just send them in anyways. 6 months after the election, finally a state judge stepped up and reprimanded her, but it was too late. The thing is that they go, you know, I don't see anything stopping them from doing it again. I mean, you got, you know, Raffensperger is still over there in Georgia, another corrupt judge who took a $6 million check from Zuckerberg, who sent passed around a lot of walk-around money to get his corrupt, highly partisan election people. What kind of a team of election people are we gathering to go out and man the polls and man the elect counting rooms to check every single ballot and to do harvesting, go to the nursing homes, gather the votes, go to the, you know, put votes in the drop boxes. I mean, you've probably seen Dinesh D'Souza's movie, The 2,000 Mules, right? That's only the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, they're stuffing, people are stuffing the, those drop boxes like crazy. That's illegal and nothing is being done. Where are the prosecutions? Where are the conservative or Republican, you know, I mean, secretaries of state and officials? Where's the Republican National Committee?
It's a great question. I if you look at 2,000 Mules, and there's no way to explain that away and say that what they did wasn't illegal.
But nothing's been done.
And Fox News hasn't covered it. None of the mainstream media covered it. If anything, it was a complete blackout on social media. They censored anybody.
And it still is.
And I encourage everybody who has the chance to watch it to watch it. I honestly, you know, I don't want to be discouraging like we just talked about.
Right.
I live in Colorado where we've had all mail ballots since, I don't know, 2012 probably. And when I first got into the legislature in 2002, the Republicans held the House, the Senate, the governor's office, every single one of the constitutional offices statewide. And they put in all-mail ballots, and the Democrats now have a supermajority in the House, and they're one vote away from a supermajority in the Senate. I believe we've got to do everything we can to do away with all-mail ballots. The ability for corruption, like we saw in 2,000 Mules, is unstoppable because, for the most part, Republicans don't do that. Republicans don't cheat. The Democrats have no problem whatsoever, and they have the billionaires out there like Zuckerberg that are more than happy to pay people to go do those.
He's already committed $100 million to feed Trump. I mean, right. It's the same playbook. They're already rolling out another pandemic. I mean, look, anything can constitute an emergency. We just saw what happened in New Mexico, where Grisham declared suspended the Second Amendment because somebody had been shot. That's the first time, I think, in American history. I don't think Lincoln suspended anything. I mean, he did suspend elements of habeas corpus in the insurrection emergency of the Southern Secession. But even Lincoln, even in that dire situation when the Republic was coming apart, did he suspend any of the amendments to the Constitution? And yet she's done it, and there's no response from the Republican Party. They've done diddly squat.
Yep, that's why I encourage everybody to look at groups like mine, the Committee to Defeat the President at StopJoe.com. Look at organizations like the National Association of Gun Rights. NAGR filed a lawsuit against the governor in New Mexico immediately upon the governor making that pronouncement. You see the sheriffs down there saying they will not enforce the governor's proclamation, and you see people marching on the streets with open carry right now.
Good.
That's the way we're going to have to win, is not working through the party system, but working through outside groups that are not beholden to their big political donors that are trying to, you know, wield power over the citizens of this country and are willing to stand up to these abusive and corrupt politicians that have been put into office by this corrupt machine.
I think that the situation in New Mexico, with this governor who is formerly a health official, is a kind of a trial balloon for what's coming later next year, which is a treaty that's going to turn all authority over to the World Health Organization under the guise of how they define an emergency. An emergency can be anything. I mean, it could be, you know, economic inequality. They could declare an emergency. Somebody criticizes drag queens in a nursery school. That could be called an emergency. They're going to assume these emergency powers, and they're going to completely gut the Constitution. And Biden and his regime are completely behind this treaty. I don't know if enough people really understand the stakes here. You know, this could really literally upend the entire election for sure. I mean, I think the late Rush Limbaugh predicted that the Democrats, they don't really even want elections. And I think he meant it. You know, they want to figure out a way to basically do away with the whole system, let alone the fact that they want to keep the Republican frontrunner off the ballot. I mean, this is like what just happened last summer in Cambodia, where the opposition to the communist dictator who's been in there for, I think, 30 years, was put under house arrest. He, whose name was stripped from the ballot, and the dictator, you know, went on to, quote, win the election. You know, people think I'm kidding around. That's exactly what they're trying to do here.
If they could, they would, without a doubt. Thank God we have the amazing document that the founders of this country put in place, which is the Constitution, which requires the Senate to approve a treaty with a foreign country or a foreign organization. And I guarantee you that the WHO agreement is never going to be signed into law by the Senate. It'll never be approved as a treaty. Governor Grisham does not have the constitutional authority to declare a state of emergency and take away the Second Amendment rights. Nowhere in the U.S. Constitution is that authority given to the governors. And you saw that play out during the pandemic, when if it was up to Biden, he would have shut down the country. He would have forced vaccinations. He would have forced mask mandates. And you saw governors rise up and say, no, we're not going to do that. You saw that in Florida and South Dakota and other states. That is because of the brilliance of our Constitution. And the rest of the world hates the United States because they would love to be able to push their radical agenda on us. But because of the Constitution and the restrictions therein, they're not able to do it. And that's what's frustrating the left every single day. They want to take away our power as citizens, but they can't do it.
I mean, I think that, you know, you mentioned the mandates and the dictatorial element of the pandemic, particularly what they were trying to roll out at the time, which was electronic passports, which I think would have been the end of freedom. Right here in Boston, our new mayor, Michelle Wu, just upon coming into office, she signed an executive order saying that you had to show a passport to go into a restaurant or a store in Boston. It was shortly after that that I think the people that saved the day were the Canadian truckers. Thank God for Canada. You know, they went out.
And they
by blocking the roads, I mean, they threatened to bring the entire economy to a screeching halt. The United States was starting to get involved in it. Australia, New Zealand, France, even Israel, you know, countries were starting to respond to it, and it was becoming a worldwide thing, in which case this entire rotten socialistic establishment backed down, because in the face of that kind of opposition, they had to, even though they demonized the truckers. They said that they were Nazis, putting aside the fact that the majority of them happened to be men of color. You know, the fact is that a direct action by people, legal action, you know, peaceful protest, brought the whole rotten thing to a halt. But they still keep those powers in abeyance, and they still are waiting for the right opportunity to pull it out. I think they're getting ready to launch a new campaign over this low-grade, you know, flu virus that they're calling COVID, and to try to convince people to, you know, to undergo new, you know, authoritarian restrictions. I don't think it's going to work, because I think at this point it's more than just Trump supporters. It's a lot of liberals, a lot of normies, as I call them, are also not going to put up with it. I think that the truth is out enough that these things are unnecessary, that there are problems with the vaccine, especially for children. And that I can't believe that the American people are that cowed that they're going to go along with this kind of emergency situation again.
Yeah, I don't believe they will. I think Americans in general are good people, and they're smarter than the politicians in Washington, D.C. think that they are. You just look at Donald Trump, who's been indicted 4 times, and every time he does, his poll numbers go up.
Indeed.
And I think that is because America is good. The people of America are good, and they will not abide by their Justice Department being used as a weapon to go against political enemies of the party in power. And I really don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican abusing their power this way. I think the American people would rise to the aid of the candidate that's being attacked. And I think the Democrats overplayed their hands and didn't calculate correctly just how good Americans are. And that's why you see Donald Trump's poll numbers going through the roof and you see Joe Biden's falling down, because the American people won't put up with this. But I want to go back real quick.
Please.
The pandemic. You look at the parliamentary governments around the world, whether it was in Israel or whether it was in Canada or Australia or other places, where the party of power controls everything from the top to the bottom. That is where you saw the most draconian restrictions on the citizens of those countries, and forced mandates, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, because there was not the appropriate checks and balances between the House and the Senate, or between the local government, state government, federal government. Only here in the United States, where we have this unique document that encourages federalism and protects the individual citizens, that you will see that the pushback that happened and that was most effective. I thank God every day that we don't live in a parliamentary government, that one party controls everything and can put their
I agree. I mean, look, thank God for the Constitution. We have a nation of laws, not men, as Jefferson said. But we should remind ourselves that Constitution has to be defended every day. It's not just something, you don't just wake up in the morning and look at it out the window and there it is. It has to be fought for sometimes and defended. So Ted Harvey is the chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President. Ted, what are you advocating going into next year and as we get ready for the 2024 election? I mean, what is your position on some of the issues that I've brought up, like getting rid of the electronic voting and, you know, same day voting and ballots, like they do, for example, in France, a country of 50 million people, where they all paper ballots, all the same day, all in person, except unless you have a real reason to cast an absentee ballot. They counted them and they had the winner 2 or 3 hours after the polls closed. What is your position on that?
One good thing about the Constitution is it's a federalist system where the states get to make the decision. Another bad thing about the Constitution is it's left to the states to make the decision. One of the things that the Constitution specifically says is it's up to the states to determine how to run their elections, to determine how to allocate their electoral college vote. And praise God, that's in the Constitution. But with that the states have the ability themselves to have electronic voting or have all mail ballots or do it by hand, the federal government can't do it. So it's going to require the individual citizens in each one of those states to rise up and hold their elected officials accountable. My PAC in the 2020 election spent a ton of money in the legislative elections in Georgia and in Arizona to change the laws to make sure that you did have to have proof of a photo ID in order to vote in Georgia. We did get that bill passed. It will be interesting to see how they actually implement that. But that they have changed the sensitivity of the signature verification in Georgia, because when Stacey Abrams sued the state, they filed a an agreement between the Secretary of State, the Abrams group, that they would turn down the sensitivity of the signature verifications, and that that resulted in huge number of signatures getting through that normally wouldn't. They have changed that back now to what it's supposed to be. So we are out there fighting every day to change these laws in these states to make sure that we are tightening it up in each and every state. But in the end, my number one goal is to raise money and get Republicans elected, to take back the Senate, and to make sure that Donald Trump, who will be the nominee, wins in 2024. And we are raising money every day and trying to make sure that that happens. So I encourage everybody to go to our website at stopjoe.com to learn more about it.
Excellent, Ted. Listen, I mean, the only other thing I hope you might consider would be to advocate the passage of the PAVE Act, introduced again by my own Senator Elizabeth Warren in 2019, that called for ending all 50 states to stop with the electronic voting, which she referred to as, quote, rigged, unquote, and quite accurately.
Look at the book right here.
Yeah.
Rigged. By Molly Hemingway.
Oh, yeah, great book. She's good. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, in the case of Warren, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So in this one, we should get behind it. So, Ted Harvey, I want to thank you for joining me today. Really good talk. Let's stay in touch as the election unfolds.
That's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks a lot, Ted. I'll send you the link.
All right. That's great. God bless.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.